Part 2. The Lowering Clouds. 4. Go back to blank paper. 1. Konoya's actions over the past few years had baffled those who sympathized with the tremendous problems he faced. Why had a liberal allowed the army to gain ascendancy? Why had he subordinated himself to his own foreign minister, permitted him to endanger the negotiations in Washington? Ambassador Craigie was impressed by Konoya's numerous acts of statesmanship, only to be irritated just as often by his apparent lack of firmness in leadership and his failure at times of crisis to use his strong personal position to curb the extremists. Ushiba, who was privy to Konoya's thoughts, comments, "A Churchill or a Kennedy might have succeeded in controlling the army, but given the Japanese constitutional system, by which the supreme command was independent of the prime minister, and confronted with such a huge organization, determined to control national destiny, it is doubtful if even Churchill could have succeeded." In the opinion of Lieutenant General Teiichi Suzuki, director of the Cabinet Planning Board and an army intellectual, Konoya wavered at critical moments, not from weakness, but from intellectual doubts, and his objectivity rendered him almost incapable of making a clear-cut decision and taking action on it. But both Suzuki and Craigie agreed on one thing. Konoya was another Hamlet. And, like Hamlet, he was finally spurred to decisive action. He would meet privately with President Roosevelt to settle once and for all the question of China. On August 4th, he summoned War Minister Tojo and Navy Minister Oikawa and told them of his decision. "If the president still does not see reason, I shall, of course, be fully prepared to break off the talks and return home." Both Japan and America would have to make concessions, but he felt agreement could be reached if the high-level talks were carried out with broad-mindedness. He promised that he would neither be too anxious or hasty to come to terms, nor assume a supercilious manner or act submissively. Tojo and Oikawa refused to commit themselves without consulting their colleagues. Within hours, the admiral reported back that the Navy was in complete accord and, moreover, anticipated the success of the